Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It is Monday morning, January 14th, 2019. We are rushing towards the finish line, and you and I have been called to run a race, and we must finish strong. We must finish strong. The finish line is ahead of us. We have to look beyond the momentary afflictions to the finish line and the glory that has been set before us. How important is it to know what time it is? I believe it's very important to know. And today we're going to talk a little bit about some prophetic things. And I would love to hear from all of you. And I want to say once again, good morning to everybody tuning in, whether on the Omega Radio Network or at Blog Talk Radio. You know, if you're listening anywhere in the world and you want to call into the program, you can dial the number 818-369-0326, 818-369-0326. And for those of you that are listening on the Omega Radio Network, you're tuned in to www.omegaradio.org. That's omegaradio.org. Thanks for telling your friends and family to tune in. And again, to all who are tuned in, welcome. Also, those listening on Blog Talk Radio, the address there is www.blogtalkradio.com/X-Man777. And you're live right now with Blog Talk as well. So I want to welcome everybody, wherever you are, on this kind of gray day. We know that up north there is, or just north of us in Arkansas, we're in the very northwest corner of Arkansas, and just above us, there was a major storm, 7 people killed. I'm sure you've heard about it, and it is just a big snowstorm. Now, when you're a kid, that's awesome, because you get the snow sled out, snowball fights, I mean, all kinds of great stuff. You might even get out of school for a day, but anyways, this is unfortunate that people die in little storms like this, car accidents everywhere. So you always have to be careful. I don't think that this snowstorm is the end of the world, but it is a big storm. There's no doubt about it. And what I want to share about, I want to look forward a couple of months, because I felt very strongly in my heart today to look back to the Hebrew root of things. You know, you come to these moments and, all right, so we want to shift the atmosphere. We want to talk about something that maybe might gather our attention. And so write these dates down, April 6th, April 6th is the first day of the first month of the new year in the calendar, the Hebrew calendar. Again, that is April 6th will be what is known as Nisan 1, 5779. That is the Hebrew year, 5779, in God's calendar. Now, the 14th day will be April 19th. And so write that day down, April 19th, which will be the 14th day of Nisan, which is, you know it, Passover. Passover. And Passover is a very intrinsic story to the Bible. And while it is an ancient document of what has happened in times past, there are connections. For example, on that first Passover, a lamb or a goat's blood was shed. The blood was put upon the mantle of each house. And we know that on that same exact Passover date, thousands of years later, Jesus was on the cross and he was shedding his blood on Passover as the Lamb of God. And you know that the Judaizers would have never made that connection and tried to complement Judaism with this Messiah that they always called false. And so a supernatural work of God was accomplished on Passover 2,000 years ago, as we understand it in that time frame. And so what does it mean for the church in the last days? How does every Passover that we celebrate have any intrinsic meaning or value to you and I as believers living in these last days? And we do believe they're the last days. And while, you know, I heard a guy last night trying to, you know, tell everybody that, you know, everybody's been saying from the beginning, it's the end, it's the end, it's the end. And then I thought to myself, well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, that's exactly what the scoffers and the mockers will do in the last days. They'll say, isn't, you know, we've heard these things from the beginning of our fathers, and, you know, we've heard it all. And then, of course, what is so unique about our generation, what makes us so different from 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, 100 years ago, is that within our generation, we have seen Israel reborn. The fig tree has come back and has blossomed and spread forth its branches. We have seen a technological explosion around the world, now moving into these 5G towers, which we need to talk more about. I'm going to have Patrick Wood back on the broadcast very soon so we can talk about this technocracy that's rising. But we know that this is true with technology, and we also know that people have been traveling around the world like never before, and these are the prophetic signs given in Daniel and given in other scriptures. And of course, the licentious nature of our generation, you know, the promotion of, you know, laws that are contrary to the mind of God in a global sense. You have a United Nations. So all of these things came about right after World War II, and around 1945, the United Nations came to power. 1948, Israel was legislated to come back. 1967, they established themselves. They've been there ever since. And so we're in the time frame of a 70-year time frame, a 50-year time frame. From 1948 to 2018 was 70 years. From 1967 to 2017 was a 50-year jubilee. And so we are right in a time frame here, a perfect time frame of something going on with Israel being the center of time. It is the time piece that everybody should be looking to. Our entire faith has a root system in the Old Testament having to do with Israel coming out of the loins of Abraham. And so we really, really do need to continue to look at that centerpiece of time, Israel, and to see that they were born again in our generation, because a generation is 70 years, and if by power 80, we're there, we're in it. We're the generation that will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. That's what the Bible says. So we are unique in our generation and understanding more than any other generation in the history of the world, because for the last 1960 some odd years, Israel was not a nation, and all Bible prophecy is fulfilled when Israel is a nation. And so, again, the centerpiece of time, God uses it, And we need to understand it more and more. And that's what I hope we're going to do here today. So remember, April 19th is Passover. That will be the 14th day of the first month, Nisan. Now, let's talk about this, even though we've done it before. Let's just share a few thoughts about the dates of the Hebrew calendar, which we know we are in right now. We are in 5770. Get our calendars right here. We're in 5778. It was back in the fall, September, October, just a few months ago, that according to the rabbinical calendar, according to the rabbis, okay, now you have to understand something about the rabbis. They're not always wrong, but they did kill Jesus Christ, okay? So there has been some error in rabbinical thought, rabbinical thinking, and so the rabbis came up with this understanding that the calendar changed in the seventh month, that somehow Rosh Hashanah, which was the first day of the seventh month, began a new year in the civil calendar. Now, what I do understand, it's like when I was a kid going to high school or school, our new year began in September most of the time for a school year. And so even though it was the ninth month in the Gregorian calendar, September, that was the beginning of a new year. But in reality, it did not advance to 20, you know, if I was there in 2010, it didn't go to 2011. It just began a new year. So God's calendar does not say that. What it says about Rosh Hashanah, it's the first day of the seventh month, which began the fall feast of the Lord. But when we look at Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, which I want to hang out here for a little bit today, it says, "The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." I mean, that's exactly how it begins. And he's talking particularly, as you'll see in a moment, of Nisan. It was also Abib in different calendars. But Nisan 1, this was the springtime, was known as the first month of the year. So if we're going to change a year in our calendars, it has to happen, as far as the Hebrew calendar is concerned, God's calendar, it has to happen in the spring. So right now we remain in 5778, and it will be 5779 on April 6th. April 6th will begin the year 5779 in the Hebrew calendar. Okay, and now that number, by the way, for 5779 is the Hebrew meaning of counsel. What it means is counsel. So I believe by the time we get into April, right around April 6th, that we're going to come to a time of spiritual counsel. Now, there may be the dark counsel of the wicked one, but there will be counsel among the righteous. And I believe that the counsel that will be given is how to prepare for what lie ahead. Now, we're still in the year 5778. And that year 5778, for everybody that's been kind of following along here, is the meaning of it is the Ophe, which means if we go into this, the Ophe, it's gets down to get under the wing. So if I go to 5778 in the Hebrew, it is bird-like. It comes from 5775, which is an oaf, which is a bird as covered with feathers or as covering with wings, as covering with wings. And so we got to Psalm 91. And we know that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that he will under his wings shall we trust. And so we believe that 5778 was the year to get under the wing, get into the Psalm 91 protective hedge. Now, we've seen a lot since last spring, okay, since 5778 actually began in the spring of last year. So in God's calendar, we've seen a lot. We've seen wildfires. We've seen hurricanes. We've seen massive events that went on in the year 5778 in God's calendar. So in April, we're going to shift into the year of counsel. So that means that we have the rest of January, February, March to witness events that are going to cause God's people to remain under the Psalm 91 hedge of protection. And again, the only way to abide under the shadow of the Almighty is he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So we are still, according to the Hebrew definition, and there's some codes there and some ideas that are presented by the Holy Spirit, brings things out into the open for us to look at, that we are in the year 5778. So I would say hold on for the next 2.5 months, the rest of January, all of February, all of March, and then another 6 days until we get to the year 5779. So something is going to transpire between now and April 6th, I believe, and it already is around the world, by the way. You know that. I know that. That, I mean, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have been displaced all over this world. There have been amazing things go on, but we're not done yet. There's something, I believe, yet to transpire in the month of January, even though we've seen the government shutdown, a partial government shutdown, and we have this border wall battle going on, and we have all these politics and things going on in the world. But we're going to see some things really transpire, both in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of men upon this earth. And you and I should be dwelling in the kingdom of God. There's no doubt about that. And so when we get to April 6th, according to Exodus chapter 12, it will be the year 5779. And once again, the year 5779 is the year of counsel. It is the year of counsel. And what I would like to do is just give you the exact definition of that. 5779 is the word "oots." It means to consult, to take advice. It means to counsel together. It's the primitive root. And then you have a counselor is Yahoots, and then you have the consultation, which is another boots, but it's just a little bit different in the way it's spelled. So consultation, counsel, counselor, take advice. Now, there are scriptures concerning this, both in the kingdom of men and in the kingdom of God. So Psalm 91, it's where we are right now. Now, what is this story when God gives his calendar advice? And again, if you are a civil calendar person and you want to go to Rosh Hashanah as the beginning of the new year and you want to change the year, I think you're going to be, you should be a little cautious about changing the year, especially when God said, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So the year changes in God's word in the spring. And now if you want to celebrate Rosh Hashanah as the beginning of the fall festivals with the 10 days of awe, the Day of Atonement, and then of the Feast of Tabernacles, that's awesome. But to change the year, it kind of alters things a little bit. And so we need to be cautious and kind of abide carefully. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, let's look at this a bit further. In verse 3 of Exodus chapter 12, "Speak unto the all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep." And by the way, that's where Jonathan Kahn came up with his understanding that the lamb was born in the spring. The lamb was not born in the fall. It was not born on December 25th. Lambs were born in the spring, and that's why he says, "Your lamb shall be what? Your lamb shall be a male of the first year. So if it was born in the spring, well, in this Passover that God's talking to Moses about, they had to find a lamb that was a year old, which would have meant the last spring. And that's where Jonathan brought up some great information for you and I concerning quote-unquote Christmas, right? Well, anyways, let's get back to this. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, which is the first month, Nisan, as we know it. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses. Now, we need to ask ourselves at this moment, why is God giving Moses all of these instructions for taking a lamb and killing it? Well, the reality is that the children of Israel were about to go out from the house of bondage, which they had been in for over 400 years. Now, earlier, about 430 years earlier, God made a covenant with Abraham that his seed would go into bondage and that they would be there for 400 and some odd years, and then God would bring them out. So everything that happened to Israel was foreknowledged, foreknown by God. And so now is the time after 400 and some odd years that God is ready to deliver his house of bondage. He raised up Moses. He sent 10 signs and wonders on the land of Egypt. And God was about to establish his victory with this final act of having them go out. And so he's preparing them to go out. And how is it? He said that their going out will be connected to the shedding of the blood of a lamb, that when the lamb's blood was shed, they were to put that blood on their houses, and that would be a protection because the angel of death, as you're going to see here in a moment, was going to go over the houses, and whenever it saw the blood, it would pass over that house where the blood was. This is where we get the whole idea of Passover. The angel of death would pass over the house where there was blood. Now, we also know, fast forward 1,500 years to be kind of closer to our dates, that Yeshua, the Lamb of God, that John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Well, God's Lamb, his Son, was slain on Passover. He was on the cross and died right around 3 p.m. during Passover. And then he hung on the cross for a period of time, and he was taken down. And here is a fulfillment of a feast, the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of first fruits, all connected. And this is the Lamb of God. Jesus is fulfilling the lamb that was slain, the first fruits of the resurrection, and the unleavened bread. All of these feasts were fulfilled in Messiah Jesus. That's really important. But does that mean that all of Passover is done and complete? Certainly not. There's a lot more for us to derive from this great feast. And there's a sense, and I'm going to just use it that way, there's a sense that this coming Passover, that there's something going to shift in the atmosphere. There's going to be a shift. And if it's going to be caused by the council that will begin, or if the shifting is about to take place because God is going to do some things in the world system to get his people to go out from the world system of Egypt, and he's going to bring them into the wilderness, there's something to talk about here. And we need to talk about it, but let's get back to the Word of God. So he's talking and telling them what they need to do. And we get to verse 7. They shall take the blood, strike it on the two side posts on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. This is also the feast that everybody does the Seder meal. If you have never been part of a Seder meal, it's phenomenal when it's presented properly. And so they're eating it roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Verse 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire, and thus shall you eat it with your loins girded. Here's how you're going to eat this lamb. Here's what he's telling the people. The night before they went out of the house of bondage after 400 and some odd years, you're going to eat this lamb after you take its blood and put it on the doorpost of your home. You're going to eat it with what? Your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So in other words, they are ready to go. It was the time of the fulfillment of a prophecy for God's people to go out of the house of bondage. Now, you know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, particularly as we get to the very end of time, that his people are in Babylon. And he says, come out of her, my people, lest you become partakers of her sins, right? And so there is a time of coming out. Now, when you were born again, when I was born again, we had that lamb's blood applied to our lives, and we get that personalized reality. But let's go on a little further here. It goes on to say, verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Wow. So that's where God established Passover. Now, the New Testament church, who realizes that the fulfillment of Passover was in Jesus Christ, they basically turned away from celebrating the feast. But the people of God, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, the Israelis, they read this in their Torah, and they realize that they are to celebrate this forever in their generations. And those of us who have been grafted in among them, who are the root, if you will, of our faith, we too, like the apostle said, let us therefore keep the feast. And so we believe that there is a instruction to God's people, Jew and Gentile, who have been born again into Jesus Christ, who have become the ecclesia, the church, to keep the feast of the Lord. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, tells them, let us therefore keep the feast. Paul said he was going to stay in certain places until Pentecost. He was going to keep the Feast of Pentecost. And we know that the Feast of Tabernacles, according to Zechariah chapter 14, will be actually celebrated even during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years from year to year. So the Feast of the Lord are valid feasts for God's people, Jew and Gentile, one new man in the earth, and God is setting it up right here all the way back in Exodus. And we have to remember it. That's what a memorial is. We have 4th of July every year, a memory, a memorial, or Memorial Day, you know? We have those things, but here is a biblical Memorial Day. Here is a biblical feast that is to be celebrated year to year until the very end, which, in my understanding, will actually commence beyond the 7th day, the prophetic 7th day, which is the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so let's go forward just a little bit more. He tells them that during that time, verse 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off Israel. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. In other words, the only thing you're going to do as far as work is prepare your meal, prepare your lamb. 7 days, no work. He's setting it up forever, right? This is how they celebrate it forever. 7 days. It begins with a holy convocation. It ends with a holy convocation. No leaven in your house. Get the leaven out, right? Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5 that the leaven is not just external in our actual houses, but he says, get the leaven out of your life. Get the leaven out of your heart. Get the leaven out of your soul. And that is to be done all the time. It's a great time for introspection, examination, right? And then we move on to verse 17. Verse 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, or when the sun sets, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Boy, God goes into a lot of detail with Moses to share with his people about the feast, doesn't he? Unleavened bread, that little compromise within us, a little bit of leaven spoils the whole loaf. The little foxes that spoil the vine, that little bit, you know, and he doesn't want any leaven. It's a time to really do a spring cleaning. That's where we get the idea, by the way, spring cleaning, because everybody knows when it comes to keeping your house clean that through the winter seasons, things just seem to get a certain way, right? All right, so verse 21, he went on. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. Boy, that doorpost and the two sides, that is the cross, is it not? That is the left side, the right side, and the top of the door. That is the cross typified. So he goes on again. He says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer or allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. Now, the promised land is mentioned here. The promised land. So what is the journey? The journey is out of Egypt into the wilderness, that's where God took them, and from the wilderness into the promised land. Is that correct? All right, well, let's take a peek at this. How many of us know in our personal journey we were in Egypt, typified? We were in the world. We received the blood of the Lamb. We went into a wilderness experience, okay, and working in dealings with God, and we're on our way to our own promised land. And what is that promised land? Well, ultimately, it's eternal life in heaven with God throughout eternity, where there won't be time anymore. There will be time no more. After that prophetic seventh day, that millennial reign, after that, there is no time. Time is never, ever mentioned except in Revelation 22, where he does talk about that tree of life that'll be there from month to month. That's very interesting. But as far as we understand time, it will not exist. So we're looking for a promised land. We're journeying out of Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. That was their journey. And how many of you believe right now that we have the seal of entrance into that eternal purpose, the thing that no man eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him, our eternal dwelling place, the temple of God, the things. Yes, we have a taste. Yes, we have a foretaste, a down payment in the Holy Spirit. We understand the kingdom. We understand the power. We have that. We get that, right? But there is something beyond what we have right now. Would you agree? There is an ever-increasing, an ever greater measure of glory that shall be revealed. I think we all get that. So I want to go to verse 26. It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And then it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants. Man, this was even the firstborn of cattle, even the cattle's firstborn. I mean, it was all firstborn. And all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. Why? Because again, verse 30, Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. So after the 9 former plagues, Pharaoh finally got it when his firstborn son died, right? The one that was to take his throne. And now he's begging Moses and the people to get out. And it says in verse 33, the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we are all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Wow. How about a great spoiling of Egypt in the day that we are living in? How about a time when the Bible says in the last days that the woman is going into the wilderness? How about a time where it says in the book of Revelation 2 times that the woman is going into a place prepared of her? God took the Israelis out of Egypt into the wilderness, and there God's economy, there God's kingdom was set up. Yes, even in the wilderness, God's kingdom to take care of his people, to protect them, to feed them, to give them water, to guide them, to direct them. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we have been so bound up in the Egyptian world government that we are tied into many things. And I believe that a time is coming that God is going to say, come out of her, my people. And he's going to bring us out into a wilderness experience even more than what we're in. And there, his kingdom economy is going to be set up to take care of his people until the time of our entrance into the promised land. And then it's a whole different story. But, you know, people have preached this for how long? Forever, right? And yet there is an urgency for the moment that we're living in. I believe the 5779 that's going to begin on 6th of April, we'll commence a year of counsel, and I believe you're going to hear much counsel, and you have to be careful what you're hearing. Beware of what you're hearing, because the Spirit of God, the counselor of all counselors, is going to be counseling his people in wisdom on how to prepare. Your eyes are going to see further destruction upon the global government of things. You are going to see, just like the Egyptians saw, the plagues hitting that world government. It is going to begin. Out of the ashes is going to come a global one world government again, with Lucifer at the helm. His angels are going to be set up in positions of power. And at that time, you have got to be in that wilderness journey with the Lord, where he's taking care of an overcoming remnant for 3.5 years. And I believe that we are marching towards that moment, but the year 2019 as we know it, or the year 5779, will be the year of counsel. But until April 1st, remember, stay under the wing, Psalm 91, be under the protective hedge of God. There's something ready to happen, and it's all in the Exodus story. It's all in the Passover story, and the Jews have remembered this from that time to this day. Go to Israel. They will celebrate this Pesach is what it's called in the Hebrew language. They celebrate the Passover. They celebrate unleavened bread. They celebrate first fruits. They go back to the Torah, but they haven't had their eyes open yet to the reality of the fulfillment of this when Yeshua came and shed his blood as the Passover Lamb of God. He was the Paschal Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when their eyes open, they see it. Glory to God. You and I have seen it, and we have been operating under that blood. This has been a new covenant ratified in the blood of Jesus. 1,000 years, God has opened the gates to the kingdom. He has called his people into eternal life through the blood of the Lamb. Our sins are forgiven. Our conscience is clear. We have eternal life. The atonement has been made, and we remember the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me thoroughly from my iniquity. He has washed his people in his own blood. He has taken away their shame, taken away their stain, taken away their sickness and disease. The blood of the Lamb has spoken at the right hand of God, not guilty, to all who have believed. For we have been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Someone say, hallelujah. Why would we not remember this perfect work of the shedding of the blood? And yet, I believe that there's something to be said, not just in our memory banks of what's already been accomplished, but a repeat performance of a people coming out of the world empire in the last days, going into the wilderness. The Bible says it's going to happen again, and I hope to be one of those going into the wilderness. How about you? Because if you're not in the wilderness, you're going into the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 7 says an untold multitude went into the Great Tribulation, and they came out of that Great Tribulation having washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my goodness. But it's going to require going into the tribulation or going into the wilderness. Which way are you going? You're not going to receive the mark of the beast, I hope, and yet many are going to fall away. The love of many is going to wax cold. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 that God was not pleased with many of them, for many of them were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're already in the wilderness of this world. And yet there's a secret wilderness, if you will, for a woman in Revelation chapter 12. That's true. And she will escape the wrath of the dragon. She will not be a participant within the Great Tribulation. She will be nourished for 3.5 years. I hope to be there. How about you? But maybe somebody talked you out of the prophetic promise and said, well, if you're not a natural Jew, then you can't go. Well, I would remind you, according to Romans chapter 11, that you've been grafted into the Israel of God and have been assimilated into the tribes. And therefore, you have access. It's not if you're a natural Jew or not. It's what kind of conduct you possess, what kind of character you have. For it is the 144,000 overcomers that have the seal of God upon their head, not because they're just Jews, but because of the conduct that they possess. You know this is all true. Revelation 14 tells us about the conduct. So what an exciting moment. I mean, how many of you are looking at this going, man, I hope something's going to happen in the month of April this year? I want to hear the counsel of the Holy Spirit. I know the dragon is going to be counseling. I know that the evil ones are going to be counseling. I know the wicked are going to be counseling. But I want to hear, and you know, there's a scripture that talks about an evil counselor. I believe it's in the book of Daniel. Maybe I'll find it in a little bit. The evil counselor. Well, there's going to be counsel in this year ahead. Big counsel to foment plans, to complete jobs. I mean, and God has a plan. And God has a job to do yet, and we want the counsel of the Holy Spirit for our lives. And God was giving counsel right here in the book of Exodus. He was counseling Moses what to counsel the people. And I believe that God is going to raise up a voice, and it's going to give pure counsel to the body of Christ, because you don't want to do anything weird and crazy. You just want to be led by the Spirit, which the world will say you're weird and crazy, but you actually won't be weird and crazy if you do what God says. So verse 37 simply says, in the closing out of this, that they went out, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, beside children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, flocks and herds, and very much cattle. They baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Remember, they were told to eat it with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand. How many of you know that God delivered righteous Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah in the same way? It doesn't appear to be a Passover meal that night, but we do know that the angel showed up that night. And you know there's a Passover angel, right? Everybody knows that Peter, the Apostle Peter, was in prison, and the angel came to him and opened the prison door. And Peter said, "Now I know I have seen the angel of the Lord." Well, he's referring to the Passover angel that went before the children of Israel. Yes, there's an actual Passover angel. And we know that Lot, when he was leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, it was in haste. And he got out just as the sun was rising before the storm of violence hit Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction fell upon them, fire out of heaven. And so in like manner, God is going to be ushering people out of the world system urgently, quickly. It's going to be a swift coming out. And we're in that season to remember that if God says we need to do it, we need to do it. We can't be like tarrying Lot. We can't tarry because his wife wants to look back, you know, and all that stuff. This is all instruction for you and I. Instructions. And then I want to just finish up chapter 12 in verse 40. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. That's how long they'd been there. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the self same day, the exact timing, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Here's the Passover instructions. Here's the final words in 43. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof." And remember, it says in Ephesians that you were strangers and pilgrims, right? You were without God, without hope. You were strangers, but now you've been grafted in. That's in Ephesians. So for you and I, we're not strangers anymore. We partake of these ordinances. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry it forth, aught of the flesh, abroad out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. And remember, not one bone on the body of Jesus was broken. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let all his males be circumcised. Let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. You know, we've been circumcised when we came to faith in Christ by the word of God. He says in verse 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Well, is it time to go out? Some would say, well, we're not in it. I don't know. Is that true? Are we not in it? I happen to believe that there's going to be a prophetic shift in the next 2.5 months, bringing us to the year 5779. And because we are in the year 5778 still, according to God's word, the Bible, the Torah, okay, we still are in 5778. It will change in April. The fall this year, by the time we get to September, October, in that rabbinical cycle again, they're going to call that 5880. But it's a little bit rushed. Now, what I hear is where I think all things work together for good. I think that the rabbis are looking, they've got things ahead of time, but it gives us opportunity to foresee what we need to be looking at. And right now, there's a new year beginning in April. It is the year 5779, the Utz. It is a year of counsel, time to take advice. I believe that God is going to put an end to all debt. I believe that God's people who are aligned with him are going to come out of this Egyptian governmental power. Now remember, he who is a borrower is the slave to the lender, which makes you in bondage. You're in the house of bondage when you're in debt. I am going to decree right now and declare right now that there is a time of coming out of debt in the next 2.5 months for God's people. Will you agree with me? Will you agree with me that the bondage that God's people have been in? Now, remember, wherever you have borrowed, you are a servant. You're a slave to the lender. That's the word of God says that. I want to declare with you right now, the next 2.5 months will be a bondage-breaking season, that all debts will be paid. You notice it says that the Israelis borrowed from the Egyptians and the Egyptians lent to them and then they spoiled the Egyptians. I got news for you. They never paid them back and they never will. That was God's debt relief program to get his people to come out with spoils of Egypt, their gold, their silver, their raiment, everything they had need of, they took when they left, and they never were told to repay them. They came out of that bondage. Now, it's time to get out of debt. So how is God going to spoil the Egyptians in your life to get what you need to get out of debt? Well, it means to stop spending unnecessarily. If you're in debt, it's time to start saving what comes in your direction and paying off the debts. God is able to pay your debts off in a day. Now, if I were a, I have to be so careful here, but there is a financial blessing that can be received with a Passover offering. Oh, yes, there is a Passover offering, but I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm just going to make a declaration. And the declaration that you and I are going to come into agreement with, if you will, is that we're coming out of debt. All debt is going to be paid off. And I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I am going to find a way to sow my financial seed into really good soil so that I could reap a harvest that will wipe out my debts. That's what I'm going to do. And I believe in my heart that New Wine Ministry, that the Omega Radio Network, that this is good soil, and people that would sow into it would receive that blessing of harvest as well. I want to thank the two people thus far, the three people that have actually in the last week and a half have given a financial blessing to the Omega Radio Network. And I pray that God would multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, and that God will let you know that you have sown into a ministry according to a prophetic word in the 1990s by a prophetess, that this ministry is hundredfold soil. It is rich. It is black. You could put a golden shovel in it. This is all the prophetic insight that was given to this prophetess who said that this was good soil. And I want to declare to those of you who honored what we had asked a week and a half ago, we ran dry. We had no money left in this New Wine Ministry Omega Radio, zero. We kept paying 50 here, 50 there, and we ran out. And we first received a $50 donation, and then we received a $200 donation and a $25 donation. Three people have decided that this ministry was worthy of them to sow into it. My prayer to God for them is that they will receive an abundant supply, a multiplication of their seed sown, and the added benefit of the new and increase of the fruits of their righteousness. If you are wanting to get out of debt and you know God's kingdom, give and it shall be given unto you. Sow and you shall reap. If you want to get out of debt and you're looking for a right way to do it, maybe you could sow your way out of your debt. And by sowing into this ministry, we would proclaim the hundredfold blessing, the increase of the fruits of your righteousness. And that's it. I will not say another word because I'm not going to toy with God's word. I'm not going to play with God's word to do anything other than declare what God's word says. And that's where I'm going to leave that. And again, I want to thank those that did give to this work of the ministry. Now, the idea here is that every single one of us get out of debt. That is God's desire. God does not desire for you and I to be in debt. And the Lord has disciplined those of us who have been in debt because we know for every dollar of debt, there's a pound of pressure. And we don't like the pressure. It messes with you. When you're in debt, your head can't be clear. You're entangled with having to deal with this every single month. In some cases, even worse than that. And so it's time to get out of debt. We want the ministry out of debt. We want ourselves out of debt. We want you out of debt. We want your family out of debt. And there's enough money going around in this world where they're talking about trillions of dollars here and billions of dollars here. And it's time for a transfer of wealth to come into your life, not because you deserve it, not because you're crafty enough to make it happen, but because God is going to honor his word. And there is a debt relief program in the economy of heaven. And I declare it to come to your life and my life. And may God show us the way. Man, oh man, do we want debt relief? Come on. 2.5 months. Time to come out of the house of bondage. What a great shift. And then we'll commence the year of counsel to, now that we're a free people from the debt of this world, a further counsel what God would have us to do. Oh, may the Spirit of the Lord have his way in you and I in this prophetic moment, in this prophetic day. I've got a call coming in from area code 941. I just now checked the screen and realized there's people listening, and there's a call coming in. Area code 941, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Xavier. I was just calling to say hello.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is Danny calling from Florida.
Yes, Danny, I recognize you.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say God bless you. I really like your show, and you're preaching the gospel and the good word of truth to the world, and people will be encouraged by it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Unfortunately, we've just kind of run out of time right now. I've got Patricia Joy Xavier coming up on the Omega Radio Network, and we're going to keep doing our best. Danny, thanks for the call. God bless you. May it be a year of victory for you as well. So again,
amen.
Thank you for that call. God bless you. All right, folks, I've got to say goodbye. If you want to listen to Patricia Joy Xavier in her ministry on deliverance and forgiveness, get over to the Omega Radio Network right now at omegaradio.org. She's going live right now. until we meet again tomorrow, I am Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's been a pleasure to be with you today. I hope that God uses something that was said today to encourage your heart. Here we go. Goodbye.